I just got some beads put in. Just for the laugh, really. Yeah, because, like, I'm not worried about the size, and I was always good in bed. And so when I did it, I was single. And, I heard about it a couple of years ago and just decided I'm going to do it and never really looked back. Well, most chicks freak out, but, they're obviously not the open-minded ones I'm looking for. I find the cool ones and they love it.
Warning, adult content. The Hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Have you ever thought of enhancing your genitals? Well, it turns out some guys are getting things done to their dicks to make sex better. I'm Nat Tenchich, and on the podcast, you'll hear what people are doing to their dicks and why they do it. First, here's hack Stephen Stockwell on why guys are making their dicks bigger.
So you've got sort of pills and supplements, pumps and stretches, and then surgery. They're the sort of main options you've got there. Now, to get the ball rolling, I called Dr. Christopher Fox, who is a senior lecturer in sexual health and sexology at Sydney Medical School and a sex and relationship therapist in Melbourne. And I asked if the pills and supplements are any good.
Completely ineffective, non-effective, doesn't do anything, waste of money.
Wow. He got to the point pretty quickly there. So the pills don't work. What about the other techniques like pumps and stretches?
So something like stretching the penis or massaging it, called jelking, there's anecdotal reports that works, but Dr. Chris hasn't seen anything solid on that. There can be some benefit from pumps, making your willy a little bit longer and thicker, but you need to use it consistently. And Dr. Chris had a word of warning about over-pumping.
Which can cause damage to the vascular system of the penis. It really needs to be trained or under guidance. And when we say training, either a sex therapist who understands what they're doing or another pumper.
Dr. Christopher Fox there talking to hack Stephen Stockwell about some tried but not so true methods of enlarging your dick. But the investigation found that going under the knife can increase your penis size, but there are plenty of other ways that people alter their genitals. So to find out more about all of it, we're joined by psychologist Dr. Gemma Sharp and cosmetic surgeon Dr. Jason Oates from Calibre Clinic. Welcome to The Hookup.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Nat. Hi, Gemma.
So first up, I'll direct this one to you, Gemma. Why do people want to alter and change their dicks?
Well, there's a couple of reasons that men usually give. The top reason being, though, that that their penis size really affects how they feel about themselves. So they're like, I want to have an augmentation because it'll make me feel better about myself, make me feel more manly. But sometimes guys have also had some really negative experiences too, like having comments made about their penis by sexual partners, feeling really inadequate in the locker room. So sometimes it's more of a, I suppose, psychological distress motivating their desire for procedure. And also, as you were mentioning before, just a desire to enhance their sexual pleasure, enhance the pleasure of their partner as well as themselves.
Yeah. Have you found that, Jason?
Yeah, very much the same as what Gemma said. I guess human beings are relationship driven, that, you know, they want to have relationships, and it's all interpersonal. And if you're feeling inadequate in this area, and most of it is just perceived as opposed to being a real inadequacy, and if that's going to then interfere with the most intimate relationship that you're going to have, then, yeah, guys want to do something about it.
Yeah, we've got a text in which pretty much speaks to that. It says, if you need to alter your genitals to please another, then you're in the wrong relationship, just saying. Jason, how does your clinic go about the penis enlargement procedure? Can you talk us through it?
Well, I'm a trained surgeon. I've been doing essentially cosmetic surgery for 20 years. And maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I had a couple of guys in short succession say, look, is there anything that you can do to enlarge my penis, but I don't really want to have surgery? And the fillers, the sort of things that we're using in the lips and cheeks on a daily basis, were really booming. And I was thinking, well, surely people are using this to augment the penis. It seems like a simple, easy way to go about it. And, of course, they were doing it in Korea. But really, in the end, I had to develop my own techniques and something that I thought was going to be safe, painless, something that was going to be like a walk-in, walk-out procedure with no downtime, but it was going to make a noticeable difference in the size of the penis. And that's sort of what I spent a few years developing.
Does that procedure, the one that we did hear some of the nitty-gritty about in that an opener a little while ago, does it change the feeling or the sensation or the pleasure factor?
Yeah, so what we normally try and explain to guys is that you're going to end up with a penis that looks normal, feels normal, works normally. It's just bigger.
Just bigger. There you go. What are some other procedures that you've had people come in and ask for?
We have had a few people also ask about increasing the size of their scrotum. We've had a couple of guys who suffer from really tight muscles in the skin of the scrotum, which feels like a squeezing around the testicles, which is apparently quite uncomfortable and apparently not that uncommon. The idea was to use Botox, which is a muscle relaxing treatment that obviously we use in the face to try and decrease wrinkles, and to use that in the muscle of the scrotum to relax it.
Yeah. Well, Gemma, what's the thinking behind making your scrotum bigger as opposed to the tree?
That's an excellent question. And I think that will definitely be my next research question. But I can only imagine that, a bigger penis, you'd want bigger balls to go with it just to, to be even more manly, to impress your sexual partners even more.
Yeah. What other sorts of things have you seen or heard of people doing to themselves and modifying their genitals for looks, perhaps?
I mean, obviously, we've been talking a lot about male procedures, but women are undergoing cosmetic vaginal procedures as well. Labiaplasty, which is the reduction of the labia minora, was the world's fastest growing cosmetic procedure last year. There's also vaginal tightening, restoration of the hymen, G-spot injections. So, yeah, there's just as many male procedures, there's just as many female procedures going on.
We've got a question in from Jordan from Ballarat on the text line. It says, how rare or common is phimosis in men? I suppose that'll go to you, Jason.
That's a sort of problem that doesn't normally come to me. It's where the foreskin has a very tight opening and can't be pulled back over the head, what we call the glands of the penis. So then often it'll lead to needing to become circumcised. And that sort of problem usually goes straight to urologists and they deal with it as a functional problem. So it's not something that actually tends to come to me.
Yeah, but when you would go about doing it, is that something it's almost curative, I suppose, rather than modification by choice?
Well, yeah, that then becomes a medical procedure. I know there are plenty of medical procedures that are performed on the penis, but of course it involves then losing the foreskin, and most guys who have a foreskin are quite attached to it, and I want to keep it.
Yeah. Gemma, speaking of that situation and circumcision in particular, which is another way that people might modify themselves in a looks sort of way, how common is it for people to voluntarily circumcise themselves for looks?
That's another great question. I wish I knew the statistics on that off the top of my head, but certainly there is strong opinions on to circumcise or not to circumcise, and I think from what I've read, there is some research to suggest that women have a preference for a circumcised penis, and that might be driving some men to get their penises circumcised. And certainly with the procedure Jason does, it would appear that sometimes the cosmetic outcomes are a little bit better for men who are circumcised versus men who are not. So I think that might be driving some of that decision as well.
And Jason, how often do you get people coming in for foreskin restoration, which I've seen a bit of online, people getting their foreskins put back on?
Interesting. It's not something that I've had many guys ask about. From some of the guys who we did the very first caliber procedures on, I've had one guy comment that, he was circumcised, but what we would consider a loose circumcision, so he still had a fair amount of loose, wrinkly skin there. But he says 4+ years later, there's been some stretching of the skin by the weight of the product in there, and he now looks more uncircumcised.
Wow. So it sort of like flopped over.
Yeah, it's sort of drifted. And that's one of the things, well, we've noticed with a lot of guys, although Caliber is a wit procedure, so we're injecting, as I said, the same sort of fillers that we use to plump up lips, and injecting that underneath the skin of the penis to make it thicker. Mm. For a lot of guys, and often the term they use is shrinkage or turtling, where it's not hanging out and it shrinks up. Just with the weight of the product, it tends to make the penis just hang out more and then look longer when it's flaccid, when it's soft. And maybe in this particular guy, you know, there was enough weight there over the 4 years' time that it perhaps did a little bit of stretching of the skin as well.
Yeah. You're listening to The Hookup on Triple J. I'm Nat Tenchich. I'm joined by Dr. Gemma Sharp and Dr. Jason Oates. Dr. Gemma is a psychologist and Dr. Jason is a plastic and cosmetic surgeon from Caliber Clinic. And we're talking about penis and genital modification. We've got a call in from Brandon from Brisbane. You had enhancements made to your genitals. What did you do?
I just got some beads put in.
Right, so that's a thing called pearling, I think. Why did you decide to do that?
Just for the laughs, really.
For the laughs? Gemma!
Yeah, because, like, I'm not worried about the size and I was always good in bed. And so when I did it, I was single. And, I heard about it a couple of years ago and just decided I'm going to do it and never really looked back.
Wow, and did you get it done professionally or did you do it yourself?
No, I got it done professionally. So I've got 3 rows across the girth of 5 little beaded silicon balls underneath, and it's on top of the penis. So it hits the G-spot and everything, you know. So it's pleasurable for them.
Yeah. Well, what sort of reactions have you had when you've been in bed with someone?
Well, most chicks freak out, but that, you know, they're obviously not the open-minded ones I'm looking for. So, I find the cool ones and they love it.
Gemma, what do you say to getting that done, having pearling done for your partner's pleasure?
For sure, I think. As our caller was saying, like sort of more doing it as a luxury type thing has certainly come up in our research, like sort of a why not? I've got one life only. Why not enhance my sexual pleasure of myself and my partner? And I think as long as it's done safely, then I think go for it. I'm not as familiar with pearling, but I can imagine that it would definitely provide a novel sensation for any sexual partner.
Jason, what are some of the risks around getting that procedure done?
The number one risk is of infection. And in fact, the surprising thing is how rare infection is in people who are having this procedure done. Even over the long term, it doesn't seem to cause problems. I did have a patient who was fairly generously proportioned anyway, and he had both silicon balls and rods. And then we also injected the Caliber filler in. And in fact, he came back a few months later and asked to have the silicon balls taken out because he was now just so big that his girlfriend was always happy that he'd had the procedure, the pearling. He was just now too big for her and he had to have them taken out.
Wow, but was she a little bit sore about losing that from her relationship?
I guess she seemed to like the width over the pearling, so
right.
Maybe that was a... There is a procedure done in very limited number of facilities in the United States, actually using a silicon sheath under the skin of the penis. So it goes for the full length of the penis, several inches long, and wraps right around and makes the entire penis thicker. But that has more issues with the potential erosion through the skin and actually getting infected and having to come out. Surprisingly, pearling seems to be something that most guys get away with without problems.
Oh, there you go, Brandon. And how has it been for your day-to-day life having your penis be pearled?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, I'm always laughing about it and just telling everyone because it's a good conversation starter. And so, you know, even at parties I'll tell people and they're like, whip it out. I'm like, oh, all right then. And so, you know, it's good fun. I'm not too worried and I don't regret much. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Oh, well, Brandon, thanks so much for the call.
Cheers.
Oh, you're on the hookup on Triple J. We are talking about altering your junk and how you do it and why, sometimes for pleasure, sometimes for looks. I'm here with Dr. Gemma Sharp, she's a psychologist, and Dr. Jason Oates, who's a plastic and cosmetic surgeon. We got a text in from Daryl from Queensland. He says, I have a Prince Albert and have had for 10 years. I did it to enhance pleasure for my partner and because I like the look of it. Have gauged up to an 8mm thick 19 millimetre diameter ring and love it. Well, first up on this question, Gemma, can you explain what a Prince Albert is?
So my understanding is that it's a piercing in the tip of the penis. Maybe Jason has something to add to that as well. But, yeah, just, yeah, piercing for both pleasure and looks.
Yes, I supposedly Prince Albert had one, and my understanding that it usually actually goes through the meatus, the eye of the penis itself, and comes out through the undersurface. And as a ring, it can also be used to pull the penis down. It's something that, yeah, I certainly wouldn't be rushing in to have myself. I'm almost feeling a bit lightheaded just talking about it. And I just wonder, one that goes through the eye, when you're having a tinkle, I just wonder where it all goes. And it must be interesting standing at a men's urinal, although, I don't know if you women know, but you just can't look down and check out another guy's member. So maybe people don't see it if they're not intended to see it.
Yeah, I wonder if Daryl ever has it kind of shoot out the sides at all.
Yeah.
A bit like a sprinkler.
Can a piercing make it difficult or give you trouble with maintaining an erection, Jason?
Again, I surprisingly not. For most of the piercings that I've seen, I've seen sort of piercings through the skin of the shaft of the penis, and it's just through the skin, not through the erectile tissue below. There is a medical condition called Peyronie's disease, and that's where a scar tissue forms on the deeper layer that forms the sheath of the erectile tissue. Then it can't stretch in the way it's meant to. So you have one side that doesn't have the scar that stretches and the other side that it's scarred up and bound down, and then that curves around a bit like a banana. It can curve a full 90 degrees, and then that can make sexual intercourse very, very difficult. So I guess the worry would be doing something like this and causing scarring or infection that then induces Peyronie's disease. And then that could lead to sexual problems.
Yeah, Gemma was just saying that. Yeah, you can't have sex in that situation, I suppose. Can you get it corrected? Can you get, Peyronie's disease corrected?
There's a wide range of treatments available and they range from using the pumping type devices and stretching devices and just trying to stretch it out. There are medications that can be injected into the actual scar tissue itself, and some of these are extremely expensive. There are some new treatments, such as injecting what's called platelet-rich plasma, which is where we suck blood out and spit it down and take out the little platelets, which are the clotting factors and the healing factors, and injecting it into the Peyronie's. And also what's called shockwave therapy. So not electric shocks, but sound waves that are pulsed into the scar tissue. And if none of those are working, then you eventually can lead on to surgery, and there's a range of different surgeries which obviously then becoming very invasive.
Mm. And I think just lastly tonight, what advice would you give to anyone who's maybe thinking about having this done or thinking of modifying their genitals, would you say maybe stay away from it or just be safe?
Well, definitely be safe. I think it's a really common thing for guys to have thought about having a bigger penis. Even guys that we treat who have big penises come in, you unzip and you hear this big thump as it lands on the table. You think, really, you want that made bigger? even guys with big penises often still want a bigger penis. But make sure you do some research into it first. This is not something to get done in a backyard, alley, and around the world. All kinds of terrible things that have been done, and certainly in the medical side, there's lots of articles written about terrible complications that have happened to guys who are just injecting all kinds of strange and weird things in places that you think, you just wouldn't go there to have this what is really a medical procedure done. Get online, do some searching. Maybe we've got a website, Caliber Clinic. We've got a lot of information there. But it's certainly there. It's something that, it's worth investigating and finding out about if it interests you.
Mm. Dr. Gemma Sharp and Dr. Jason Oates, thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Hookup.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Have you got a topic you really want covered? Shoot us an email via thehookup@abc.net.au or hit us up on Facebook.